Welcome to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, with your host, Director of the MVAA, Adam Ollier.
Hi, this is Adam Ollier. I'm the new Director of the Veterans Affairs Agency, and I'm really excited to be able to take over the department and the agency at a really important time as we seek to better serve all of our veterans and their families. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. I'm really excited to have Evan Fay, who is an Air Force veteran, served in a variety of capacities, and then came into the reserves, but decided to move to Michigan with his family. And that's what we want folks to do, is to choose Michigan. And we want to make sure that we're doing a great job of supporting our military service members and their families. It's going to be a big priority for me as the director, and I'm excited about having a conversation with Evan as he introduces himself, but also talks mostly about how we got here and what we're going to be able to get done going forward. So I want to introduce our first guest, or my first guest as the director. It's Evan Fay. Evan, do you want to introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about you and how you ended up in Michigan.
Sure. So name is Evan Fay. I'm originally from Southern California. Right after college, I joined the Air Force as a second lieutenant, commissioned out of ROTC, and I got space and missiles as a career field. So space and missiles, basically, think ICBMs, nuclear weapons. So you were
the original part of the Space Force.
I was part of Space Command before Space Force happened. Yeah. And that's because ICBMs go through space. So they put those two together. So did my training out in Vandenberg and out in California. Then ended up in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Went to Wyoming, knew I wanted to do, you know, property stuff. So, you know, bought some property, and started, you know, lived in one unit, used a VA loan. It was a great, great benefit. I'm using a VA loan in order to buy my first property. Kind of broke out of college, and was able to buy a 4-unit building, live in one, rent out the other ones. So I was in Wyoming for 4 years, made captain there, drove out to different sites and basically, you know, babysat nukes and did the whole missile thing. From there,
and so, yeah. just to kind of caveat it, as we talk a lot about, there are a lot of folks who think that they need to have retired before they're able to take advantage of any of the veteran benefits. And you, while on active duty, got a VA loan that allowed you to start doing what you were ultimately going to do then. Is that right?
100%. Yeah. No, that was one of the biggest. I always knew about the benefits and joined the military, but it wasn't, you know, my primary reason for joining by any means. But once kind of learned the process and what a VA loan could do, and looking at some of the veteran benefits that were available while you were so active, the other one was the Civil Service Relief Act, them capping out interest rates and giving really good credit benefits for as far as, you know, zero interest and other things. It really allowed me to, while in the military, still kind of springboard the rest of, you know, my future outside of the military at the same time. So, yeah, it's one of those great things that you can use your VA benefits while still active duty.
And so after you left Wyoming, you went somewhere even colder, if such a place exists.
Exactly. From Wyoming, I went up to Alaska, Anchorage, Alaska. I then swapped over into munition maintenance. So, small munitions, like, small bombs, not nukes, and missiles and that kind of stuff.
I guess everything is small when you compare it to nukes, right?
Compared to nukes. Yeah. Yeah. But shout out to all my ammo brothers, you know, my ammo guys know what I'm talking about.
I think, for us Army folks, anything that the Air Force is shooting, it would be pretty big for us.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, we're in charge of the MOAB. So, but that, again, that's a big bomb, but nothing to a ICBM, for sure. So went up to Alaska. I was a, operations officer. So number two, and helped run a squadron up there, the third munition squadron. From there, I continued and still bought properties. I bought properties the whole time in Wyoming, bought properties up in Alaska, up in Anchorage, did the whole Airbnb thing right when it started, and really you know, still had a great time serving. I deployed out to Korea. And then after my 3.5 years in Anchorage, I started doing research in the end of Wyoming, beginning of my time in Anchorage, on where I wanted to ultimately end up with my family. So I started doing research on every single state, kind of what different benefits they had for veterans, did research on cost of living, real estate opportunities, development opportunities, political opportunities, kind of the whole nine yards. So started with my then girlfriend, now wife, doing research on, hey, what are we going to do? So after spending some time up in Anchorage, we decided and landed on Detroit and Michigan in general, and found, you know, it checked every single box for us. So we were really excited about finding our forever home. And yeah, so then we moseyed all down. We got in a car, a newborn, had a 3-month-old, two dogs, and a Ford Transit, and drove from Anchorage, Alaska, all the way down to Detroit, Michigan, and closed on the house a couple of days later. And
how long of a drive is that?
It was a long drive. It was 9 days.
With a 9 days.
Yeah, with a 3-month-old who was crying every moment of it. So it was a lot of fun, and the dogs were cooped up. But Canada's beautiful, but it is a long drive. So
that sounds horrible. Sounds like it was a no fun drive.
I mean, it was a mix. I mean, during the actual drive, yes, it felt pretty miserable. But at the end of the, I mean, looking back on, we saw a lot of wildlife, stayed in really cool places throughout kind of the Yukon and up in there. We made the drive during the summer, and Canada's absolutely gorgeous. So yeah, really good views and stuff. So yep.
That's cool. Well, after the next break, I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about your process in deciding what state to go to. I know it's always a difficult decision when people are thinking, hey, I'm getting off active duty. Where am I going to transition to? You know, the process you had in looking through and comparing the different benefits that states had. And to talk a little bit about what MBAA is going to be doing to help make Michigan a more competitive and appealing location for folks to make their home, like you and your family have done.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I would love to kind of chat a little bit about that process, because it was a detailed process, and yeah, there's definitely a lot of calculus that went into it. So.
So Evan, you talked a little bit about the process that you had to go, or the process that you went through. Can you walk us through a little bit what it was like? I know a lot of folks who are coming off active duty may not necessarily know all the things that one state or another state provides them with, or how to tap into their benefits. What was your process like?
Sure. So my process started a little earlier than most military members. A lot of people that I met in TAPS, or the transition program, when people are getting out, really don't have a plan. I pretty much had a decent plan going into it. So when I was looking at a place to ultimately end up, I mean, I looked at kind of three major tenets. One is, first and foremost, is it going to be a place that my family is going to be comfortable in? I need to make sure that my family was, you know, safe and secure. Secondary is there economic, you know, opportunity there, and that was really important for me to be able to kind of grow my family and kind of get some economic opportunity there. And then the last thing was just, is there room for growth, right? So like, are there benefits and other things that I can utilize in order to help springboard my family even further than another place? So I basically started looking at all the different areas throughout the country. So one of the big benefit us military members have is that we TDY a lot, and we deploy a lot, and we go everywhere. So the military sent me to basically almost every single state at some point for conference or for some sort of training or for something. I really got to visit a lot of different areas throughout the country, what it really helped open my eyes was that, you know, even though California kind of feels like its own world sometimes, it really opened up my eyes that, hey, the world is a lot larger. So even if you don't go there, go to a specific state, you have the ability to talk to other people from many different states who give you backgrounds on their upbringing, kind of their values and everything else that happened with them. And that really helped kind of create that whole picture. So after doing the research, Michigan and Detroit in general, but Michigan kept kind of coming to the top of the list as far as we loved how diverse it was. We loved a lot of the real estate was at a place where it was always on the rise. We loved that it had all major sports teams. It might not seem like something that is important, but you realize when you live in Wyoming and there's nothing to do and you're kind of like, go tumbleweeds, like there's nothing. So, same thing up in Anchorage, they did have a hockey team that stopped playing hockey when we were up there. So we wanted all teams. Yeah. And so we found all the major, we wanted major sports teams. So we wanted a downtown kind of nightlife to be able to go do. We wanted an international airport. And we honestly wanted someplace that had a good military, opinion. Some places in California don't have the best opinions of military. And that's something that I recognized when I was there, when I was going through ROTC and everything else. In some of the areas, I did like that Selfridge was here. I did think I would be visiting Selfridge a whole lot more than I currently do, just because I lived in the military. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna be on base all the time, but it's a little bit far. Yeah, so I liked that there was a base here and that if I needed to go to the Guard, I would go to the Guard. And I liked a lot of the different things. So convinced after looking at all of those things, we decided to fly out here to interview the city. So we flew out here probably 9 years ago just to kind of interview the city, stay in different parts of the city and go downtown, go to different parts of the more unsafe areas, quote unquote, or other parts of the city and just kind of get a feel for, all right, do we feel comfortable here?
How different do you think your experience transitioning was than some of your soldiers or the other people you served with?
Sure. Yeah. So that's something I was, TAPS, the Transition Assistance Program that all military members have to go through. In talking with, you're paired up in groups quite a bit in that it's like a week long course, a week and a half long course. And I had some of my troops were going through it at the same time I was going through it. And I was shocked at how little research people did and little plan that they had kind of going out into the world. So, I mean, I might be a little bit more ambitious in my research than others. So it was really interesting to kind of hear when they were, you know, helping people with, hey, what are your finances going to look like? What are your monthly bills? What's your mortgage payment or what's your rent going to look like? They were kind of going through that. And when I say people's brains were like sponges, like people's brains were like sponges, like just absorbing all the information possible. And even for someone as research as I did, I still got a lot of really good things out of the traditional transition assistance program. So I would probably say, again, I'm probably a little bit more prepared than the average, troop. But at the same time, people did not do as much research as I would originally have thought.
And that's one of the things that we're going to be doing more as an agency is connecting with the TAPS program and working with them to ensure that it's easy to understand all the services that Michigan provide as you transition and think through. Were there some things that made a bigger difference as you tried to make those decisions or some things you were like, hey, this state really gives and I wish that Michigan did or some things like that that came across in your research that kind of drew you?
Yeah, sure. So a couple of the things. So one of the first things that I did prior to coming here was I got my real estate license here. There are some states that have reciprocity with other states as far as licensing and other things. Michigan is not one of those states.
We are now. that was one of the things that I got done in the legislature just a couple of years ago. But you were already in Michigan at that point.
Right. So you're saying the real estate license works in other places? Oh, yeah. So
no, I mean, so you could transition your license from another state to Michigan.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
So if you were licensed in Alaska, like the state you were last in, your license would transfer here to Michigan and give you enough time to meet whatever the criteria is in Michigan compared to Alaska, because we wanted to make sure that, and that's applicable for spouses and dependents. So if that's you're a military awesome. Spouse and you are a licensed nurse, for example, in Alaska, your license would carry over into Michigan and you would have however long was necessary to get the appropriate license here in Michigan in a transition, so that we do a better job of recognizing our service members and their families as they transition.
That's awesome. So that would have been huge, right? So I would have probably gotten my license there just because I was physically there. I had to do it online, kind of at a distance. And then I flew down to Michigan in order to pass the exam, which was all fine. But I was also an officer. I had a little bit more flexibility, a little bit more ability to do some of that stuff, which those kind of things are, even though they might seem small, they're huge, especially for military families, especially when you're moving around. My wife is a nurse practitioner, nurse midwife. Same thing. Whenever we went to someplace, we always had to look at their you know, how strong is the license there? How long is the credentialing process and everything else? So that even though it might only be, you know, hey, it only takes 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 6 weeks, that's a long time for your family to kind of make that transition and have to figure out how to, you know, put all food on the table for that 6 weeks if you don't have that, you know, that kind of reciprocity. So
yeah. And so in Michigan now, she would be able to transition directly, and that, you know, 4 or 6 weeks, her license would still be good. You know, that's 6 months where it took to get the credentialing or the license, so that she had an appropriate time to do that. And also not like a, hey, you got to get your license in 2 weeks because you just got here. We understand that when you move into a new place, you have other things to do besides just licensure.
Right.
And so, you know, we're excited about trying to make Michigan a better state for all of these activities. So we'll work really hard to do that.
That's awesome. So yeah, so those are the kind of things that I did do research on. And, you know, there's always going to be some, you know, friction when transitioning, especially in from going to state to state. There's always going to be some transition or some friction. That is something that military members know a lot about, because mm-hmm. we can have our driver's license in one place and our car registration in another place and our home of record in another place, and we pay taxes in this place. It is very interesting. And we all know about that. But anything that states can do would be great.
So we're going to take another quick break.
Welcome to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, with your host, Director of the MVAA, Adam Ollier.
So, Evan, you were talking a little bit about the licensure process and that shift. Are there some things that you think could have made Michigan more competitive on the list, or would have made the transition to Michigan better or easier for your family? We're really interested in, for any listeners, if you're thinking about making the transition to Michigan, please give us a call. You can reach us at 1-888-MICHVETS and, you know, just engage with us or go to the DMVAA's website and talk to and see some of the things that we're able to do. But Evan, what could we have done better, or what would you think we're looking to do?
Sure. And I, you know, I can give a little, as it's more of a snapshot in time. I'm not sure it's been updated thus far, but something as small as when I was getting my real estate license, it is free for veterans to, like, they waive some fees for veterans if you have a DD-214, but they did not waive fees for active duty military. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, I sent an email on it and said, hey, you know, I'm transitioning out. Is there any way that I can get this fee waived? And they're like, nope, you have to be a veteran. You can't be active duty, which almost seems a little backwards because I was becoming a veteran and in the process of, you know, that's the whole point. So small things like that, again, they might just, it just takes a little bit of maybe a little bit of paperwork or anything else to allow us when we're transitioning, when we're not, we don't have our DD-214s yet. but we're in that process of receiving them to be able to get some of those benefits. So at least for me, I had to do that. And you know, I was blessed enough that that wasn't a mitigating factor in getting my license. But for others, that might be a mitigating factor, or they have to wait or kind of do some timing stuff there.
You know, that's a great idea. And, you know, we've had to do some of those other kind of transitional things in just how we describe what a veteran is. And so for MVAA, it's, have you served in the military? For veterans benefits, it may be, did you do 90 days of active duty service? You know, did you have a full retirement? Did you do one day of combat? So we know that even the idea of what is a veteran can be complicated for folks, which is why we encourage everyone to apply for the benefits that they've earned, because you've absolutely earned them. Like, no one gave them to you. It's not, you know, a handout or any of those kind of things. You earn these benefits and you should be able to take advantage of them. And so we're gonna work really hard to make the fixes for those, but we only know about them when folks like yourself let us know that that is a miss, because a lot of policymakers who are doing these things well-intentioned may not realize that they have missed the mark on a service member like yourself, because you're still active duty or you're in the guard or in the reserve component, but they wanted to include you, they just didn't.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. So again, just very small things like that cause a little bit of extra friction, but so those kind of things, the more streamlined they are, and the kind of even the what is a veteran? What is a disabled veteran? What is a, I mean, I understand it's hard for people to understand it in totality, but if you're the person making that decision, it does kind of help. Like, hey, you know, I'm a disabled veteran, so I do quote unquote qualify for this or whatever. So small stuff like that.
Excellent. And so you talk a little bit about what you're doing now. Can you talk about how that process has been for a veteran, right? Like, are you able to take advantage of programs that are designed to support veteran entrepreneurs, or the kind of funding mechanisms or those kind of things? What's that experience been like?
Sure. Yeah. So I would love to. So right now I am actually getting my builder's license, and they have a veteran benefit that allows to waive certain fees, which I've been able to utilize, which is great and definitely appreciated. As far as veteran benefits as a Michigan resident, there still doesn't seem to be a place where I can go to be involved. It might also be I moved right during a pandemic, right? So mm-hmm. that there's a chance I could be more involved in my local veteran organization. But they were all closed when I moved here, and I haven't been. But other than that, like, there doesn't seem to be a centralized place to be able to, hey, what can I do? What is available? What kind of assistance is available? When driving down the highway, we see a lot of signs that say, you know, we're here for you and all the other kind of stuff. But is there anything tangible that goes with that? That we can kind of streamline and do so, or even small things. I'm not sure if states can do. I know that the SBA just took over the veterans to become a certified veteran-owned business, which I'm going through that process for my development company. I'm trying to make it a veteran-owned business. I don't know if states have the ability to do that too. Is there a way to be a Michigan veteran, you know, owned business? Stuff like that could mean a lot. And just because then once you're in, then you might be able to get on the email list or be mm-hmm. able to get updates. I know I just recently for MBAA, I just signed up for their newsletters in order to get some of that information as well. So
what do you think of that content? You know, we're
so far so good. So far so good. So yeah, it's been great. And I'm excited to see more and get more info for sure.
Yeah, and we're trying to do more, right? Like, we've got a veteran-friendly employer program. We've got a school, our veteran school, I can't think of the name, but a similar program for schools that are supportive to our service members and our veterans. And so we're really trying to build out the kind of one-stop shopping for how you engage in the benefits that you're entitled to, how we connect programs, how we do shared hiring. And so we'll be having some conversations with other groups, you know, like MEDC, as we talk through how they better connect with veteran entrepreneurs and organizations and entities that want to hire service members, right? So I've had a lot of conversations with the building trades, and they are like, hey, do you know anybody who's like, we just love those veterans. They know how to come on time, and you know, they do the job that they're asked to do, and they don't mind doing heavy work or hard work or getting dirty and things like that. So we know that there are people across the state that are looking for veterans that want to hire them, that want to engage with them, that want to do business, and look at that as a way to say thank you. We just have to hear from our service members, our veterans, about how we do a better job of putting you in position to, one, understand what the resources are. And so we've got a great team here over at MVAA who are going to be helping get the word out and do that. That's why we do this show, so folks know to come check in with us as we talk about the resources we have. But we also need, you know, more recently separated soldiers like yourself. I don't know if you're really separated. I know you keep saying you're getting out, but maybe you're going to be in the Air Force forever.
I just made major and I'm out. I think I'm still in the inactive reserve. So I have some, but yes, I'm as you, I don't think anybody can see, but I have a beard and I'm out. So I don't have to put the uniform every day like I used to. That's for sure.
That is how you know somebody got off active duty. They're like, beard for the rest of their life, never shaving again.
Nope. We've earned this beard. That's my retirement right.
Maybe that's the campaign we should run, is you earn the beard, now collect your benefits.
There you go. Beard and benefits. I think that would be, that go pretty far.
Yeah. But so I'm really, you know, interested in the kind of journey of where you're going next and how we as an agency can do a better job of supporting you and other service members. And the reason that we're talking to you and that we're grateful that you came on is because you're a recently separated veteran. You are an entrepreneur and doing those kind of things, but are also not from Michigan, right? Decided to choose here based on the benefits and the opportunities. And we would like more folks to make that decision. So if you're listening and you have a son or daughter or niece or nephew on active duty somewhere, we want to bring them back home. And we want to make sure that we are providing them with the greatest level of opportunities to start their families, to extend their families, to grow into retirement, to raise dogs or cats or whatever it is that they're planning to do, go out and fish in the middle of nowhere. But Michigan has a space for them, and we want to be the most veteran-friendly state. And so I'm excited to talk a little bit more after the break about some of the things that you think we can do to take our services to the next level. So, Evan, in the last section, we were talking a little bit about some of the reasons that brought you, but what do you think Michigan could do to be a little bit more competitive? I know you said you did a lot of research. Is there something that we could do to take the next step forward?
Yeah, so I think a lot, one of the great benefits of Michigan and that I've seen since being here and in doing my research, and then again, I'm in the Metro Detroit area, I'm in Detroit proper, is how pro-business and pro-entrepreneurial it is. There's a lot of great opportunity for entrepreneurs to be able to come here and really kind of get their feet wet in doing their passion, right? So in the military service, we go where we're supposed to go, we do what we're supposed to do. And like you said in the previous section, you know, we do their dirty jobs. We'll do what we need to do in order to make sure our country's safe and secure. But once we get out, once we get out, we might want to try something a little bit different, right? We might have always wanted to, bake pies or I don't know, start a CrossFit, like there's a lot of different things. So I think something that could, especially over other states, is showing, hey, if you're an entrepreneur, and you're coming here off of active duty and you have a passion, we're here for you. We're gonna help. You get information funding and information, because I feel like they both knowledge and money are going to help. If you get money without it, you might just waste it. So having more resources to get funding, more resources to get help on starting a business and maintaining that business, putting you in contact with other veterans who have done it before you. And mm-hmm. that might be a good resource in order to make sure that you are successful and have those connections would be really good and help you start on a really solid foot. So at least for me in my journey, funding is always great. And then networking is also always great. Because again, when we as military members, when we go to a new place, we have a squadron, we have a battalion, we have, you know, whatever the Navy has, a fleet that we work in, and we're kind of immediately in this giant group of support and like-minded individuals. Exiting active duty and going into the private sector, you don't necessarily have that. And it's sometimes a little bit of a shock on, hey, this work ethic is not the same that I'm used to. This mm-hmm. you know, excellence is not what I'm used to. There's very little camaraderie or very little loyalty. So even helping create a network of individuals who have similar interests and like-minded, you know, business goals and or just goals in general, I think that would go a really long way for helping veterans transitioning.
That's awesome. And so I think that really speaks to the kind of things that we're working on at the agency. And so this is my third week on the job, and I'm trying to engage in a very real and meaningful way in veteran entrepreneurship and understanding ways to get service members more connected. And we were doing a veteran, you know, recognizing Ford Motor Company for their, as a gold level veteran friendly employer. We're talking to one of their senior leaders, and you know, he enlisted in the Army and was an MP way back when. And when I asked him if he was using his veteran benefits, he said, no, I don't want to take away from somebody else. Like, no, that's not how they work. You are entitled to these things. And the more you use them, the more likely that the other folks who need them will be to use them, because you're going to make sure that they're right because they're applying to you. And he's the kind of person who would love to hire more veterans, who would love to hire, you know, to contract with more veterans and engage that. And so I think in this moment, if you are a service member, if you're a veteran, if you served honorably, we need you to reach out to our agency so that we can help connect you, if you'd be willing to be a mentor with some of our new service members as they come out, right? Like we've had some conversations. Michigan has some of the most successful veterans in business, and they love other service members, but we aren't making a great job of connecting, right? And I think too often people feel like the services that are provided are only for soldiers who are having some trouble, right? Like having some trouble adjusting or doing, managing those things. But we also want to be the agency in the space that is providing support and engagement for folks like yourself who took time off to serve and are now starting a business or engaging in some of these other things that we'd love to do a better job partnering with. So I'm really grateful that you came on with us today, that you're willing to talk through some of these things, but even more that you continue to serve. I know that we've talked a little bit about in your property management space, how you look to hire veterans and work with other veteran organizations. We know that that is the case, and that more service members who are entrepreneurs, the more likely you'll see the warning signs of folks who are dealing with PTSD or thinking about taking their lives or doing some of those kind of things, but understanding the camaraderie. And so, thank you for doing that. And thank you for being a leader in this community and going forward. I'd love to, you know, kind of get those kind of last thoughts about things that you think as a state, Michigan could be doing better for families or the things that you'd love to see us doing.
Sure. Yeah. No. And of course, thank you for everything that you do. And we love that. I know this organization, I think just part of the newsletter now is you just had your happy 10th year, you know, birthday, anniversary, whatever it's called. But I think that's awesome that there is such a strong commitment from, you know, Michigan and similar states to make sure that we do have a place that we are taken care of. I think a lot of the things that you've mentioned before and things that I've seen in the newsletter is doing that, right? So just, I think too often, and I know you touched a little bit on PTSD, and that's something that is important to me, and because I have a development company that I'm trying to really kick off here in Detroit, and I also have you know, some properties and stuff here, and looking at some of my tenants and some of my employees, making sure that they have the resources and that I do see those warning signs and make sure that we're all good, right? So I think the biggest thing for me and what I've seen in this process is being present and making sure that you are as loud as possible and showing all these different things that you're doing. Because I know you're doing a lot of great things. There's a lot of great things coming. We need to see it in the news. We need to see it on billboards. We need to see it. We need to see it on, you know, in podcasts like this. The more content that's out there that just helps people understand that they are in a place, and that veterans are in a place that they can be seen, they can reach out. I think, like you said, the Ford executive, I think that, you know, feeling a little bit hesitant using their benefits, something that I feel as well. I feel like a lot of veterans kind of have this imposter syndrome, and we only the worst of us can ever reach out or ask for support or be around each other, or maybe my service didn't look like their service, so it's a little bit more different. You know, that's for the Vietnam vet, and I was a global war and terror guy, so that's for them, that's not for us. That's not the mentality that we need. We all served, and I think kind of networking and keep making sure that we're all in this together, and kind of fighting for on a different battlefront for a better future for our city, states, families is really important.
Well, Evan, I really appreciate you joining us here. Maybe we'll get you back another day. But as we start to continue to talk through where our agency is going, we want to be focused on service members and their families. And we say that because these are people who have served. There are a lot of people who have served admirably, but don't consider themselves veterans because they didn't serve in war. They didn't, you know, go on ground or Vietnam. If you served in the military, it's our job to serve you, and we're very committed to doing so. We look forward to connecting with you and taking care of you and your family because you earned it. And as long as I'm the director, that's where we're going to be going. And I know Governor Whitmer shares those thoughts similarly, that we are going to take care of you because you have served us. So see you next time.
Thanks so much.